Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. This has been a tough fall for pheasant hunting. Game, Fish, and Parks survey numbers show a 64% drop in birds from the statewide average of last year. Numbers are down 76% from the 10-year average. License sales to non-resident hunters are down 21%, and those non-resident hunters contribute over an estimated $142 million to the state economy. To address the falling pheasant numbers and the future of pheasant habitat and hunting, Governor Dugard is hosting a pheasant habitat summit in Huron on Friday. Jeff Onk is the secretary of the State Game, Fish, and Parks. He delivers the opening remarks at the summit. He's with us here at the state capitol. And Secretary Onk, thanks for stopping by on Dakota Midday.
Carl, thanks for having me on.
Well, how concerned are officials regarding the drop in pheasant numbers?
Well, we have a fair amount of concern. Obviously, you mentioned some of the statistics leading into this segment. The drop in numbers actually has led to a decline in license sales, and I certainly hear from folks around rural South Dakota that kind of depend on pheasant hunters as a significant part of their income, that they're, I'm a little out of breath, sorry.
That's okay.
that their revenues are down as well. So the pheasant obviously is our state bird and an important resource to everybody, both economically and certainly for the tradition. So yeah, there's concern, and we're optimistic that getting folks together to talk about what can be done will be a positive step.
Now, the question is, what's the reason for the drop in bird numbers this year? I hear weather, I hear habitat. I'm assuming it's a combination of a lot of different
factors. So that's Carl, I think that's kind of where I would point. I think the bottom line is that we know, as an underpinning to have healthy pheasant populations, we have to have a significant amount of good grassland cover interspersed with some tree belts and certainly row crop production helps as well for providing waste grain as food. But the bottom line is you got to have that underpinning of good cover and shelter and protection for those birds to thrive. We've had that in great numbers due to some of the federal conservation programs over the last 15 to 20 years. Some of those programs are going away. This Conservation Reserve program is the one that most people will point to. Acres available are down, and as commodity prices have increased in the last few years, a lot of that land has gone back into row crop production. So we're losing some of that. So habitat's critically important. You mentioned weather. I can point to the drought of two summers ago as having a significant impact on young as well as adult pheasants. We know that for a fact. And then we went into this past spring with a very cold, wet, late spring. We had snow into April, maybe even early May. I don't remember exactly. But it was kind of nasty. And that hurt nesting success. So it's a combination, as you say, of all three. The focus of this habitat summit is to try and get ideas on the table from a whole cross-section of attendees on what we might do to maintain the habitat that's out there and hopefully enhance it.
How cyclical are pheasant numbers? Have they been steady over the years, and we're seeing a sudden drop this season?
Pheasants as a species are not cyclical. They don't live long enough to cycle in and out. But we have seen cycles of abundance and then cycles of down, lowered numbers. And we can often, in many cases, trace that right back to especially federal agriculture policy. During the early 60s, when we had a soil bank program, which was essentially land set aside and devoted to grass cover, pheasant numbers they rebounded abundantly. The mid-70s, they were down about as low as they are, according to our count, this year. And then the mid-80s, the Conservation Reserve Program came into being, and we experienced a couple million acres of new grass across South Dakota that we hadn't had for many years past. So, and we saw a huge rebound. So we're kind of, there's a cycle, but mm-hmm. I think oftentimes we can relate that cycle to especially federal programs and what that motivates some of our land users to do.
Are there any row crops that pheasants can thrive in? I mean, what is the relationship of pheasants with cornfields and soybean fields?
So it's not a positive relationship, generally speaking. We need good nesting cover and certainly need good winter cover, and neither is provided by corn and beans. I would say that winter wheat can provide nesting cover because of the cycle and the relationship to nesting season and when wheat is cut. There has been some notice that if you can't have a permanent grass cover and you're going to go to a crop production cycle, winter wheat certainly would be one that's not quite as bad.
So the ideal habitat for pheasants, the grasslands and the wetlands.
Correct, yeah.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. We're here at the state capitol. My guest is Jeff Vonk, Secretary of the State Game, Fish, and Parks, and he's delivering the opening remarks at the Governor's Pheasant Habitat Summit that comes up on Friday in Huron. Now, Secretary Vonk, this isn't just a South Dakota problem. This is a problem throughout the region.
I think if any of the listeners have read recently any of the newspaper articles around the state, they've quoted representatives from the National Pheasants Forever organization as talking about a kind of a across-the-board 45% decline in numbers in all of the northern Great Plains states that really are the traditional home where we relate to pheasants. So it's not unique to South Dakota. I would say the positive that we had in, because it isn't all totally negative, but if you compare states, we're still far and away the number one state for pheasants and certainly the number one destination for folks that want to come hunt pheasants. We want to make sure that we maintain that status, which is another reason why we're going to get together and talk about pheasant habitat.
Are you working with other game, fish, and parks departments in other states, or at least talking with them and seeing how they're dealing with some of these situations regarding habitat?
We participated. There was a Midwest Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies that sponsored what they're calling a national pheasant habitat plan, and certainly our department had representatives that participated in that. At the end of the day, though, it's really a more local effort that's needed to maintain the grass base in the areas either where you live or where you hunt, or it's more of a, I think, a state by state effort. The tie, I keep coming back to this, the tie to it all has really been certainly our private landowners are the ones that produce most of our wildlife in South Dakota, because we're 80% privately owned. And those folks who make their living off the land are motivated by national farm policy. And it's those farm policies, I think, that really have had probably some of the most significant impacts on long-term or relatively short-term pheasant numbers.
Well, you're dealing with a number of different interests here, from the hunters, the farmers, state policy, federal policy, that it seems like it's a kind of a difficult thing to kind of manage it and put things together the way that's optimum for pheasant habitat and hunting.
It is. The combination of interests, as you point out, it's fairly complex. But the bottom line is it's the person who farms the land, who owns the land, who's making a living off the land, has to make the decisions that are best for him or her and their families, and then hopefully also have some consideration for the wildlife that they produce on their land as well. And I think most of our South Dakota landowners and farmers are pay good attention to that.
Now, there's the Pheasant Habitat Summit coming up in Huron on Friday, and we've touched on that a little bit. Who all is going to be there, and what do you hope are going to be the results?
So we had a kind of a wide-open process for registration. We've got over 500 people from across the state, actually from other states that have signed up and registered for the event. It, as you point out, will be in Huron. We're going to have a plenary session in the morning. The event kicks off at 9 in the morning, and the plenary session is going to have speakers that will address kind of the histories of pheasants in South Dakota, talk a little bit about national foreign policy, talk about the challenges of modern agriculture and also providing for wildlife. We'll talk about the importance of pheasant hunting from a tourism and a visitor's perspective. So we tried to sort of cover the cross section of interest groups in setting the stage. The afternoon session, we will break the large group into smaller groups of 20 or 25 folks and have a little more smaller scale discussion and collect ideas from folks on what might be done going forward to encourage more grass, more conservation, more pheasants on the land.
Is the registration closed on that?
We did close it. I would tell you we've used that process to be able to prepare name tags for the folks that might come. If somebody shows up at the door at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, we certainly aren't going to put them out in the snowbank. So we you know, if there's an interest and you miss the sign up and you still are interested in participating, we'd say come on in. We're at the Huron Convention Center Friday at 9.
And we are streaming that on sdpb.org, so you can also check it out that way. What do you hope then happens after this summit?
This is a concept the governor has endorsed, and he's basically made his full day available to this. So the governor will be there to meet with and talk a little bit with the folks who participate. And at the end of the day, we hope to come back together and kind of pick each of the work groups is going to be instructed to kind of identify their top three priority ideas for pheasant habitat, and we'll present that information to the governor and have the laundry list that everybody has talked about collected. And then we're going to take all that information, and I think the governor is going to kind of look to some folks from around the state to digest it, and hopefully over a period of time, not too long, come back and make some serious recommendations on what we might do in South Dakota to recover a little bit on the habitat side and improve our numbers.
Was the idea for the summit, did that come from the governor's office, or were there a number of different departments that came together to...
So the governor pays me to think of a few things.
You're in the cabinet.
In 7 years, that's probably one of the better ideas I might have had for him. So we talked a little about it, presented it to the governor's staff, and the staff went to the governor, and he thought actually maybe the timing of it would be good, given the kind of coming out on the heels of a low brood count this year and some of the concerns that folks have expressed over grassland conversion back to cropland, some of that sort of thing. So really, it was the governor's call, and we're real excited that he's interested enough to talk to folks about it.
Is there anything that the legislature can do to address this?
Well, that might be a possibility.
Uh-huh.
I think what we're kind of going to be looking at is what feedback do we get from the assembled group. If there are state-level programs that would need enactment through legislation, that certainly would be on the table, I think, for next session.
Have you been out hunting this fall?
I have.
And what have you had much success?
I have. I've had very good success. I would tell folks who might be listening, my observation would be that our numbers may have been down based on the brood count, and certainly they are. But as the crops have come out of the fields and we're getting pretty close to done with that, birds have tended to move into cover. We're getting a weather front this week that's going to be cold and snowy, and it's going to push more birds into cover, so they're going to tend to concentrate. And for me, the pheasant hunting has just gotten better as the season's gone on.
What I've heard from some pheasant hunters is that what happens is they have to be out a little bit longer. You know, before, it sounded like they just get out there, they get their limit, and they'd be done in a half hour, and then, you know, they're done. It seems like it'd be more fun to, you know, be out there a little bit longer with your friends and
Carl,
more exciting.
The truth is, we have been spoiled. We hit a heyday, I think, in 2007, 2008, with extremely high numbers, and they were available to the hunting public. And so you're right. People are still having success. They have to work a little harder at it. And for a lot of us, you know, that's really part of the deal. You might not be able to drive an hour to your favorite place and be done in 10 minutes. You might have to hunt for a couple hours.